lot that's Bach and a lot that's not. Join me and the other listeners Sunday mornings for a celebration in music of the heights and depths of experience. It's a journey that reaches beyond words into realms where only music can take us. Remember, that's Sunday mornings from 5 a.m., you heard right, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. for a musical offering. Very truly Mary.
And this is KFCF 88.1 in Fresno. Stay tuned for Clearing the Air.
We don't know about Santa Claus coming to town, but we've got a couple of really nice guests in here on Clearing the Air here in Fresno. The time is about 1 minute after the hour of 3 o'clock, and it's KPFA, KFCF 88.1 on your FM dial. And we want to thank Coco Taylor for announcing, as we say in the religious business, the good news. Because we've got a couple of people that are in here. We're going to be talking this morning, this afternoon. And by the way, Kevin's not going to be with us today because he's not feeling good. And so he's released us. He's released the hounds to do this work. We're going to be talking with Carolina Simonovic of the Metro Ministries and Liza Bolaños.
There you go.
Pretty close, isn't
yeah,
that
very
okay?
Much so.
Not too bad for a Kansas boy who you know who's not that ethnically hip. She is the coordinator. We'll find out what that exact title is, but she's with the Central Valley Air Quality Control Commission. And are you the director of that program now?
I am the coordinator for the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition, so I coordinate the many members of our coalition.
Okay.
We're at about 70-plus organizations now and over 120 individual members.
Wow, okay.
And that's throughout the San Joaquin Valley region, as well as some statewide members that are joining us and getting better air for our San Joaquin Valley.
Now, I'm trying to think who we may have had on in the past, but this is a new position, isn't it? Or you're new in this position?
The position is new, okay. But the coalition has been around for a few years. And so I've basically been brought in to come and help coordinate a lot of the movement that you've seen in the past, which Central Valley Air Quality Coalition has definitely been about.
Yeah, okay, that's great. I'm mentally trying to think some of the people that we've had in. I think we've had some people in here who deal with transportation issues within that coalition. But you said how many in that coalition now?
We have 70-plus organizations.
My goodness. The last I recall, it was like 25 or 30.
We're growing.
That's great.
The movement is getting stronger, too. And I'm thinking, Jim, of the programs that I've heard, you know, you've had Ray Leon on, you've had others. Just about all of them participate in the coalition and are members. So
at some particular point, and I'm sure Kevin has already gotten this, but it would be great, I think, to have that list of agencies so that, you know, just basically month by month we had people on from each one of those agencies to talk about where they fit into this whole process.
Yeah, that would be great, and I'm sure they would be more than willing to come on down.
Yeah, I'd love to have agencies that are really involved in stuff, dealing with things on the air. You know, it's nice to have the coordinator, mm-hmm. and it's also nice to hear from the individuals who are being coordinated, as we say.
And we have one here today.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to talk about. And I'm always fascinated, and you and I've talked personally about this, Carolina, about a group of people who call themselves Metro Ministry, who are so deeply involved in an issue like air quality control. That's different from any community I've ever lived in.
Right, it shocks people. The Fresno Metro Ministry, we're an interfaith nonprofit organization, so that means we work with people of all religions or people that you know, aren't associated with a religion. And we work on social justice issues. So the issues that matter to the community, that make a difference. So 4 years ago, our board identified that air quality and air pollution and people becoming sick because of it was a major issue for this area.
Amen.
That there wasn't a community voice speaking truth to power. So we strategized and got money to work on this issue. We worked alongside Latino Issues Forum and others. They were instrumental in getting money, and we've kept it going. We have been able to make big differences now in terms of getting regular people at the important meetings where decisions are made. Regular breathers, that's what I call them. Because the oilies, the Aggies, all the rest of them have paid representatives.
Amen.
But what about us, the breathers?
Exactly. Yeah, that's really important. So I welcome both of you here, and I know that we're going to talk about some specific things here, but I think it's really important for listeners to have some kind of an idea about who the people are and where they come from and what that process is, because we're driven in this society, if we're not careful, by corporate interests who don't have individual faces. And I think it's nice to put an individual face with what the process is. I think there's some changes, and we want to spend most of the time this morning or this afternoon, I think, talking about this, but there's some changes in the San Joaquin air quality control, whatever that group is. I get confused by what they are supposed to do and what they don't do. And that's me talking.
You're not the only one,
Jim. Okay. But I think there's some changes that are taking place, and we want to get general, first of all, and then I think we want to talk specifically about some specific things that have happened, and there may be some people in the listening audience that might want to help out with a specific, but let's talk a little bit about what's taking place around the elections that are changing that particular board.
Okay, I'll just start, and then Liza can kick in with the details.
Both come in.
The San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District Board, that's a mouthful, is going to be changing this year. There are going to be a lot of new faces on the board. One, because several supervisors are retiring, and there will be new supervisors from Kern County in their positions. And second of all, because this is the year where the three city seats that are designated on this board for a small, medium, and large cities from the valley rotate. So there's a big shuffle, and new representatives from different city councils have to come on board. The process has been very confusing. It's coordinated through the League of Cities, you had to learn too that there's an association that cities belong to, and this association is in charge of nominating and selecting the three city representatives that will be on our air district board.
Okay.
So making the decisions that affect how we breathe every day.
Let me just cut in for a second, and you're talking about three cities now. Are three the only number that the cities have on this board? In other words, there are three from the city, from the cities,
mm-hmm.
and briefly, what's the makeup of the rest of the board?
Basically, in the San Joaquin Valley region, you have the eight counties.
Okay.
Each county gets a seat, which is the county board, the county supervisors that now sit on San Joaquin Valley. So
there would be eight representing the county.
Yes, and each county chooses within themselves which member they would like to send to the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District.
Okay.
Then you have three seats. So you have a total of 11, eight with the county, three with the city.
Okay.
And these three cities, they get chosen on the basis of population, so small, medium, large.
Okay.
And
so there's one large, one small, and one medium.
Yeah. Then they like to get happy and add another part, and you divide the San Joaquin Valley region by north, middle, and south. Or north, central, and south.
Okay.
And then it's kind of like you're pulling a wheel and they're going around the north, central, and south. Right now we currently have, the north has the middle city.
Okay.
The central, which includes Fresno, has Fresno, Clovis, and Madera, the three eligible. They have a pick at the large city seat. And then in the south, We have the small city seat that's up for grabs. And you have various city council members coming and submitting letters in all three regions for this designated cities to be on the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District.
So there is some opportunity for a specific individual to step forward and say, I'd like to be on this board. It doesn't necessarily just come from the county or the city saying, this is who I'm going to put on this board. Is that right?
Yeah, for the city seats, they have to be nominated, or they can nominate themselves.
Okay.
And then the large group of League of Cities members votes on who will get to represent the area.
Okay.
And part of the problems that we have are that, one, you know, this isn't really a governmental agency, and so it's kind of hard to have the public access that process.
Yeah.
How do we get our voice into what's going on? Two, there really isn't a criteria set up for, you know, what would make a good governing board member for this air district. You know, some of what we've heard, Liza, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but basically what they're using is, do you participate actively in the League of Cities? Do you go to all the, you know, the meetings and the conferences and the happy hours, whatever? But air pollution expertise, you know.
So
So
the possibility of a self-perpetuating do-nothing air quality control board, if I can use that term, is very possible because there's no qualifications that say this individual would be better than that individual on the board. Is that
right? And I think part of not having the criteria is then creating your own criteria. And just like in any kind of social circle, you're going to choose those who you know.
Well, it's a good old boy system.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it that, so thank you.
Yeah.
You did it for me.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Well, it is.
Yes, very much so.
And anybody who knows, and, you know, I've been criticized for getting after farmers, and I've also been criticized for getting after cities, but I've dealt with cities and city government enough in my life to know that it is a good old boy system, and you can break your neck trying to break into that. But it's really difficult to do.
And unfortunately, we have seen a lot of those incidents in this recommendation selection process that is currently occurring.
Okay.
When you talked about the nominations, then basically anybody can go and nominate themselves. That is assuming that they have the information that they are eligible to become a nominee. And what we found in talking to a lot of the cities that were eligible for these seats is that nobody knew.
Yeah.
And so the League of Cities, although might have done a minimal effort to get this information out, did not do a good enough effort to where a lot of the individuals that now have gone forward and sent in their letters of intent and of nomination found out through the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition, and not necessarily the League of Cities, as I think should be done.
Wow.
Yeah, we were calling people and saying, hey, did you know this board seat is available and that your city qualifies? And they had no idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to spend a little time talking about the city of Arvin.
Okay, well, that's why I know that's a specific that we're talking about, and we want to spend as much time as y'all want to on that. So let's get into Arvin.
Well, Arvin, by what all the data is showing, is the most polluted city for ozone in the San Joaquin Valley.
Say that one more time, because there must be a lot of cities that are vying for that position.
The most polluted city. They have the most days of ozone pollution in all the San Joaquin Valley, and possibly the state.
Really?
If not the nation. Liza has the numbers here. How many days were they over the ozone standard?
In a five-year period, they had 441 days where they violated the 8-hour ozone standard, which is an average of 88.2 days per year.
Wow.
That the people, the families, the young children in Arvin are having to deal with these violations. And, you know, if you look at a lot of the health studies that are out there, it'll tell you that it's not a good way to be raised.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really crushes the possibilities of developing healthy lungs.
Well, it seems to me, and you know, I'm a kid on the street because I'm not involved in this, but it seems like a community like Arvin then would really need a spot on this board. Are they going to be going on the board?
It seems like that they should, right? That's how it seems to me.
Yeah.
And actually, one of their, the mayor actually put in an application or sent in a letter to be nominated to the board. The mayor's name is Tim Tarver. He was among three applicants for that position, I believe.
Yes, the other was Fran Flores from Shafter. And
that's Dean Flores' mama.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
And then we had an individual from Farmersville, Jack Ritchie.
Okay. Now, and do we know at this particular point which one of those people went on?
We have, once they submitted the letters, the League of Cities had their monthly meeting and made a recommendation.
Okay.
And the recommendation went to Farmersville's city council member, I'm not sure if mayor, Jack Ritchie.
Okay.
Or I'm sorry, I keep seeing Farmersville. It's because
Woodlake.
He's a farmer.
Okay. Woodlake.
Oh, Woodlake.
Woodlake.
Okay.
Woodlake.
Okay.
City of Woodlake, I'm
okay.
sorry.
Okay.
And he got chosen over Tim Tarver from Arvin and Fran Flores from Shafter. And we now, kind of saw part of that good old boy system there in that Jack Ritchie also sits on the executive council of the League of Cities, which made the recommendation.
He nominated himself.
And then probably we hope he didn't vote on himself because that would truly be a conflict of interest, but we do know that the rest of the board voted for him.
So, but in reality, we really don't know because this all happened behind closed doors, or I'm assuming that's right.
Right. A few coalition members were in contact with the League of Cities regional public affairs manager and asked if the public could be present. Yeah. And we were told no, that it was not a public process and there was no other avenue for public input other than a letter. So we did not attend this meeting, so we don't know exactly what occurred other than the outcome, and only to be notified 6 days later that there is indeed public allowed into these meetings, and so we were effectively denied the right to attend these meetings.
I don't want to get too far away from this because I like to get into the political aspect of it. But one of the things that I want to find out first of all is this a done deal? I think that's where I want to spend some time about, because there may be some things that people who listen to this program might be able to help us with or help you with if it's not a done deal.
It is not a done deal. All they did on that meeting was make a recommendation. This recommendation was for the small city. We also have an upcoming meeting that will take care of the recommendation for the large city, which we haven't talked about.
That's in the central area.
Yes, and the eligible cities are Clovis, Madera, and Fresno.
Okay.
And so they're going through this process of making these two recommendations for the small and large city.
Okay.
They will have an all-city general meeting where all of the cities from the southern San Joaquin Valley will get together and send a designated member from their city council to this meeting, and you will have a voting process there.
Okay. And in other words, then the decision on small, medium, and large cities will be made by the representatives of all of these cities that come. In other words, if I'm from Fresno, I'm going to vote on the small city representative as well as the large city representative.
I believe so.
Well, this is fascinating stuff. This is fascinating stuff. Let me before we go somewhere else to the political aspect of this, because I just find it, because I want to get with this, to find out 5 days after it's over with that you do have the right to go to these meetings, and it looks to me like I'm wondering, is anyone planning to do anything about that specifically?
The Central Valley Air Quality Coalition did send in a letter asking them to resend their recommendation for Jack Ritchie and to allow public input. And we are following the process as well as a lot of our state officials. We have gotten them into this conversation about what's occurring, and we're hoping that it might follow up with some legislation.
And I'm sure that the Fresno Bee is following this very closely and doing a lot of reporting on it, as well as the other radio stations or the TV stations. I'm sorry, let me get my tongue out of my cheek here. Have you seen anything about this in any of the media?
Mark Grossi did do a story a couple weeks ago now on the letter that the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition wrote to the League of Cities.
Okay.
And, you know, where there was lack of access for the public and how that decision was made. So he did cover that piece, and we're hoping to get more coverage, especially now that their meeting is approaching in January, when this vote will be taken, or we expect it to be taken. We're hearing that it might be postponed till March because of some of the concerns that we brought up.
Amen.
So, yeah, that would be a positive.
Okay.
Because now here what's going on in the central section, right, where Fresno finally has a chance to be on this board. Fresno, the largest city in the San Joaquin Valley, hasn't had a seat on the board since 1993 when Tom Bohegan
was the
city council member. No. It's been that long, more than 13 years, that Fresno has not had a seat. And what we're hearing is that in the Southern San Joaquin Division of this League of Cities, of this Association of Cities, you know, the general sentiment is anybody but Fresno.
From the Southern?
They get the pick of the Central and Southern.
Okay.
So what we might be faced with is a representative from the city of Clovis or the city of Madera. And just because they're coming from certain cities doesn't mean that they would be bad representatives.
No, I understand.
But some of the people that have, you know, thrown their hat into the race are some like Nathan Magzig. I believe he's the current mayor of Clovis.
Okay.
He is a member of a lawsuit against the Air District for the indirect source review rule. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to sue the Air District. Some of our coalition members have done it before.
Yeah.
But this time, it is the Building Industry Association, of which Nathan has joined to be a part in the lawsuit with, that is suing against the rule that has put our Air District on the map as being a leader. It's the one thing that we all agree that they did a great job in, and we all supported, which is a rule that's curbing sprawl and helping us get money to you know, fix our pollution problem.
And as a builder, he would have personal animosity.
As a builder, he, exactly, and he's part of this lawsuit. So there's an inherent conflict of interest. You know, does he want to get on the board so that he can try to dismantle
And here again, you two come from it within this whole process. Has the media covered that aspect? And in other words, has there been a reporter who's on top of that?
As of right now, not the issue of not
of
that
this
issue.
Particular seat.
My guess is that you're focusing as much as you can on one of these issues at a time. I would think.
We're definitely trying to target both the small and the large city because we feel that these are the only really two options that we have in terms of public input as to who gets chosen. And
let's talk a little bit about public input because you've got 70-some agencies, and I'm assuming that some of those agencies are looking at Tim as an individual that they would like to see represented. But this program goes out over the air to a number of different communities. What could the listeners of this program, what could they do if they chose to do so that might help you or might help clarify what's going on? Is there something that individual listeners might be able to help with in that process?
I think there's definitely two things that anyone willing and interested to do so can do, and one is Hillary Baird is the regional public affairs manager for the Southern San Joaquin Valley Division of the League of Cities, and she communicates with the executive board that will be making the recommendation for the large city, including Fresno, Madera, Clovis. And her number is 661-428-7807.
Okay.
And the other thing is to go to their local city council and ask them to vote what they would desire. And if that includes, you know, the other individual who's running for Fresno is Henry Perea.
Okay.
And part of the issue that we currently have with our current board is that there is no diversity in terms of ethnic and cultural background.
Bingo.
And we would get that with Mayor Tim Tarver from Arvin. Okay. And Councilmember Henry T. Perea.
Okay. Do you all attend the city council meetings pretty regularly, or is that going to be part of what your job is going to be to handle that aspect of this coalition?
Definitely. We have our different organizations throughout the county that also attend those city councils.
Yeah.
And we're throughout the region hoping to influence those decisions that are going to be made and those votes.
Okay.
We're going to need a lot of support from the rural cities down south, from Wasco, you know, from Fowler even. I mean, there's a council member, Rico Aguayo from Fowler, who maybe could be supportive if he would.
Okay, and so basically I'm hearing a couple of things. If he happens to be listening and wants to be supportive, he can do that. Mm-hmm. But if there are people in Fowler who know him, who have some feeling for what's going on, what I'm hearing is that there might be a suggestion that those people who live in Fowler might contact him and say, you know, what's your position in this whole process? Am I picking that up?
Definitely.
Okay. We need these. We need to get the word out to our local electeds, the ones that'll be able to vote on this, and we need to tell them, you know, we want the city of Arvin represented. They're the ones that are being affected the most. They need to be at the table and having a voice for clean air, and we need the city of Fresno represented. We're the largest city. Most people live here, and. We just haven't been involved in that process.
Well, and I also again see difficulty with that, and it kind of makes my blood, you know, begin to turn. I don't know if it's cold or hot, but the fear that I have would be if they don't go ethnically in the direction that they want to go, they could go a builder. And I'm not sure that you've accomplished anything. So there's some specific requests that are important to the coalition, if I'm picking that up right.
Right, and in our letter of recommendations to the League of Cities, they had improved, you know, we want individuals who have a demonstrated commitment to air quality.
Amen.
We have someone who can contribute culturally, gender, or ethnic diversity to the governing board.
That's been the beautiful part of this coalition, as far as I'm concerned, over the years, is the ethnic diversity that's in this coalition is brilliant, I think.
Right, and I mean, even if we look into our population in San Joaquin Valley, Arvin, 87% Latino.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, you know, not only representation for some individuals, but for all, and all of the individuals within the San Joaquin Valley.
Okay, let's, you know, because we're running out of time a little bit, and I want to make sure we know what we're dealing with here as it relates to the small city. We're talking about
Tim Tarver.
Tarver, and he's from Arvin.
Mm-hmm.
And as it relates to the large city, we're talking about...
As of right now, we have, from what we've heard from the League of Cities, as we know that Nathan Magsig, a Clovis mayor, which we are not supporting, and the other individual is Henry T. Perea from Fresno City Council.
Now we have a contact in Bakersfield that you've already given, that's 661-428-7807. Would that be the contact for both of these people? I mean, if I lived in Fresno and I wanted Perea involved, would I contact this woman in Bakersfield?
You can contact her and tell her to register your support so that she can communicate it to the rest of the executive board.
Okay. And it wouldn't do any good for me to contact the city at this particular point of Fresno and say that I want mine registered.
No, I'm quite certain that the city of Fresno is trying to do what it can to get a seat on the board.
At some particular point, we won't do it now because we don't really have enough time to do it, but I'd like to have some kind of an idea from somebody in the country who understands this better than I do why it would be anybody but Fresno, and I don't think we can deal with that today.
But. No, I just want to add one plug, Jim, that for the last few years, our coalition has sponsored a bill that would restructure the Air District Board.
Okay.
Put a doctor on there,
that's,
a scientist, and
we didn't
give
even talk about that.
No, but we've talked about it before, and I just want to bring it up again. Yeah. If that bill had passed, and it was very close to passing, we wouldn't be in this whole mess. Fresno, Bakersfield, Stockton would have a seat. We'd have a doctor, we'd have a scientist on the board, and probably Arvin, because we'd set up criteria for that, would have a seat on the board as a small city. And we'd be much closer to getting clean air instead of this mumbo-jumbo.
Liza and Carolina, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it very much. I'm hoping that we do you some good and that we get some support for those nominees that you'd like to see on.
Thanks so much, Jim.